Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Signal-Reed, and our guest this week, Wally Keeler. Each week at this time, we visit with authors, editors, publishers, and sometimes artists who have regional or local connections. We hope to find out a little about their lives, what prompts them to write, and give them an opportunity to read some of their work for us. Today, we're very pleased to have Wally Keeler. Wally Keeler was born and raised in Coburg. He now describes his occupation as Poëntate and his location as People's Republic of Poetry. His work has been published in a number of literary arts journals, including Prism, Impulse, The Fiddlehead, Descant, Westcote Review, and others. His poetry collection, Walking on the Greenhouse Roof, was published by Delta Canada in Montreal in 1969 to excellent reviews. Wally's primary life interest is poetry, and he has spent his life promoting it. Welcome, Wally.
Hi.
Now, you were born and raised in Coburg, so please tell us a little about your childhood here. What was it like to grow up in a small town in those days?
The best word I can think of was pleasant, and for a good child, adventurous. I got to do all kinds of Huckleberry Finn type of things, you know, shooting rats at the town dump with a BB gun. A wonderful story I wrote in this book, Coburg is My Poem Town, about the starling hunt on Chapel Street. It's not known, but this took place in the late 50s, and the police organized a big shootout because there were tens of thousands of starlings.
Wow.
Made it unbearable. The fire department had to wash down the street twice a week because of this sort of thing. So there was a big shootout. And there was a big headline. I forget the exact number. It was something like 15,000 starlings shot in massacre.
Oh, nice.
And there it is in the Coburg paper. And I was an 8 or 9 year old boy running up and down the street with the other baby boomer boys, you know, picking up dead starlings. And
oh, good heavens!
Surprised the dead boys.
Well, yes. Get a load of this. Lena Fisher, one of Coburg's first women councilmen, and she became second to the mayor. And her first year after elected, she volunteered a free dinner at Marie Dressler's place for the person who shot the most starlings that year.
Okay.
It would be unbearable nowadays to do this. But
yeah. Well, maybe we should move on from starlings and shooting the poor things to poetry.
Oh, yes, yes.
How did your passion for poetry begin?
Believe it or not, I was kicked out of school. I was actually kicked out. I got suspended and expelled. So I went with Lands and Forests for a summer job north of Sault Ste. Marie. And that was the first time, symbolically, I went north of the 401 and saw forests, like the natural world,
mm-hmm.
and blew me away. And so I was sending letters to my girlfriend down here. Part of that is I'm in love, and I'm writing love poems. And I went into Sault Ste. Marie and said to the bookstore, give me some recommendations. So I got a book of Leighton, a book of Cohen. I like both. And
good
favored,
recommendations.
Yeah, and favored Leighton, just spiritually. And after that, I come back, and of course my girlfriend loves me for love poems, so what an encouragement to write more poems. And it just evolved into that. It was very personal until Dr. Alec Lucas, he was the head of the English department at McGill University in Montreal, who saw a poem in the local paper and said, I'd like to come down and meet you.
Wow.
Okay. So he met me and said, we'd like to make a book. And I'm 19 years old. Well, you know,
poet's dream, isn't it?
Yeah. Go ahead. You know, because I'm not thinking these things. But step by step, it says, I'm a poet. Well, you seem to be. Well, okay then. That was how that went, and then the next stage of development was Loyalist College of Applied Arts and Technology, and that was early 70s. And that's where I got involved in communications arts, majoring in that. And it was about television and radio and photography and such like, mm-hmm. and I threw in data processing as well. For some reason or other, I thought I had the idea computers were communications, so I did, and threw that in the mix. So I started to involve technology with poetry there.
Mm-hmm. And now you didn't stay in Coburg, obviously. Did you branch out perhaps other places?
Well, other than going to Belleville for the 2 years to go to Loyalist College, came back here for a year and then went up to Toronto and lived and worked there for a couple of years until my place burned down. Came back to Cobourg for a few months with Mum and then saved my money, moved back up to Toronto where I stayed for the next 37 years. And that's where mostly I did my work.
And how did Toronto influence your development as a poet?
Oh, that was a rich place. There was this interesting dichotomy. At Belleville, I invited the writers and Illuminati from McGill at this event called Technorotica. And what I had done is I had prepared the student lecture theater for a fully automated poetry reading. I was behind the curtain, so to speak. And I had somebody come out dressed as the ambassador, and it was billed as the first safe landing of the People's Republic of Poetry. And then the machines took over, and screens came down, and it was, you know, a show. And when the show was over, then out came the technicians, dismantled it. And nobody knows where the author is or anything. And I have the place wired for sound as well, so I can hear what people are talking. And I also have a microphone, so I can be the Wizard of Oz and invite questions. And people were afraid.
Oh, what
to
fun!
Ask questions. And the people who supported me then thought it was atrocious to bring technology in. So it was interesting in the poetic community to have that response initially.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Toronto, then I could hang out with what you would call the conceptual artists. They seemed to be in a language that I could deal with, because they were doing these sort of things, but they were doing it as artists, not as poets. So I added the poetry element to certain events.
Hmm. Well, so you're ahead of your time, because that was back in the 70s.
One would think so, yeah. I find it weird, because I was writing stuff. The documents in the 70s were spontaneous printouts. I was able to get a computer to be able to do interesting things, and it came out using text, what we call text now, and I still got these documents because that was how you coded your computers. So I did it in OCR, optical character recognition, so the machine can read it and then I can have a relationship. Now, there are computers that produce poetry, and it looks like a lot of gobbledygook and this stuff because they do random algorithms. Mm-hmm. There's no intervention by the poet, like the author. The poet still has to intervene, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, you started out with Leighton and Cohen. Were there other poets that influenced you in your time in Toronto?
Oh, yes. There was B.P. Nicol. There was Bill Bissett. General Idea. And one special favorite was Robert Priest.
Yeah.
He has great songs. And we met down at Harbor Front in the early 70s. And John Robert Colombo introduced him as Canada's first punk poet. And, of course, I thought, oh, well, geez, I got to go and, you know, meet this guy, which I did. And when we meet, it was kind of like a mutual admiration. Oh, yeah, you're the People's Republic poetry guy doing that stuff. Yeah, yeah. And we did. So that was fine. Another person was Margaret Atwood. And Margaret Atwood was interesting to me in the sense I encountered her a couple of times in the 70s down at the Harbor Front reading. When I said I was burned out from an arson attack in Toronto at that time, one of the books out on the street in the charred remains was a cover of one of her book of poems that I had. So I sent her off that cover and said, you know, this happened. And unexpectedly but wonderfully, she sent back a copy of every book of poetry she had published with her, you know, autograph in it. So I have that soul stashed here, build it up again.
Yeah.
But she was in on some of the People's Republic poetry events, so she knows a couple of the secrets of a few of the events. And you say, well, you know, how is the People's Republic poetry? It's make-believe. It's a state of mind, which we call imagination, or a nation. A nation made up entirely of imagination. So the People's Republic of Poetry is that, but it's both fact and fiction because it touches ground, you know.
Well, perhaps we can touch ground for a minute and have you read to us a little.
Oh, I thought about that, and one of the poems, I wanted the first poem because I do this on good occasions. This one's for my mother. It's called Elegy to My Mother. She was born and raised here. We got five generations in this hood. And it's kind of nice. And she's been here a while, and she was a mother that you would ever expect. She had to put up with a big lug like me, and I wasn't the, you know, I was a burden. And now I'm a dad too, so, you know. But this one's elegy for my mother, Rita Mae Keeler, January 11th, 1912, January 24th, 2004. In your beginning was the blood and the breath, the sharp inhalation of the carnal chaos of life, born 6 pounds, 6 ounces in the pubescent of a century of unprecedented carnage and creativity. The state marked the occasion with certificate 1205037696. In the unelectric world, devoid of devices of diversion, you flourished in family and began your career pushing placenta and parenthood into the open palm of life. And so you earned your Bachelor of Mum, graduating into grandchildren for the Masters of Mum. But the world wasn't finished with your dissertation of lineage, and great-grandchildren won you the Doctorate of Motherhood. My trees are not yet barren because it is September. But for you, my mother, a cold wind swept down with January ferocity, liberating your soul for postgraduate work with the angels. Your spirit is a kite, tethered with umbilical love, and gentle unto the good days, memories like random breezes tug. What is the wind but a woman loving us with caressing directions? Your life straddled 2 millennia. Your children, born in peacetime, bracketed the world's worst war. So I enjoyed your memories of the pre-tech world, of the pre-penicillin world. From pre-flight to post-lunar landings, your life was grounded, graceful as a backyard garden. I regularly visited to mine your memories, plucking nuggets of ageless gossip. And on the weekend of your death, I meant to ask you about your first kiss, but you replied with your last 3 diminishing breaths, like the ellipsed ending of a long life sentence.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you very much.
So,
we've been talking with Wally Keeler, a poet from Coburg, and we'll come back right after this short break.